Right, is the microphone on? Sounds like it. Good. That's good. Okay, so Tuesday this week, I was in Chippenham with Sue. She was getting a coffee from Cafe Nero. I was waiting outside because I'd already got a coffee from Fernando. Didn't think they'd want me inside with another coffee. And suddenly a voice said to me, "You're looking a bit lost." And as I looked around to see, I saw someone who I worked with, well, actually worked with is probably too strong a comment, on my year out in industry, so some 30-odd years ago, he worked in the same part of Avon that I worked for in that year. And so, at best, I can say we became acquainted. In my subsequent years working at Avon, our paths did not cross. And interestingly, it was only when I started working for Dayspring that we actually reconnected, because he lived in the same road that I used to park in when I was working in the office. So as I walked up to the office, I'd sometimes see him on his drive and would say hello to him. But anyway, he saw me, recognized me, we caught up, and he was kind enough to say that he'd been thinking of me in the last week, because I think it was his grandson has a Polish girlfriend, and she, when she finishes her degree in Poland, wants to work for a charity like he considers that I do, which I do. And it got me thinking, you know, had I met this person in any other walk of life, so if they'd been a neighbour, or they'd been a school friend, they'd been someone I socialised with, and I'd only known them for a year, and at that only really been acquainted with them, would this interaction still have happened? And I'm not sure that it would have done. You know, there is something about spending time together at work, 40 hours a week, 40 plus hours a week. The fact that you're working towards a common goal, you're not just having a good time, you're not just saying hi to each other when you see each other on your drive. And there are cases where we have to work with people who we don't get on with for the good of the company. And so we actually build relationship and build a relationship that we perhaps wouldn't embark on in any other circumstance. And it made me think, is there something about all of that that makes the connections that we make in work possibly longer lasting? I don't know how you view work. You might consider it a necessary evil, something that you have to do to live. Or it might be something that really excites you and you're passionate about. And perhaps you have to be careful that it doesn't consume you at the exclusion of all else. How does the church view work? Someone who was living in the US commented how the fact that someone was working and they were providing from their family was actually celebrated within the US church as a good thing. And they felt, that person felt, that that was less so in the UK church. And more importantly, how does God view our work? Today I want to look at work and how we live out our faith at work. I know that a good number of you are retired, but please don't switch off and think it's not for you. John and Toby and Chris are in the meeting because Rosie and I are involved in the main meeting, and so we haven't got teens. And in a few years, they're going to embark on their journey at work. Tom is closer to doing that, and Claude has just recently started working. And I'm sure all of them would benefit from your hard-won experience on how you're Christ at work and how you live out your faith. What did you find worked? Or what do you find works? What did not? Looking back, are there things that you wish you'd done differently? So, starter question for 10. How do you live out your faith at work? And if you're retired, how did you live out your faith at work? If you want to get into small groups and discuss that, and I'll be interested to hear the answers. Guillermo and guys, what do you think? So if you want to start bringing things to close, it'd be good to get some feedback and some thoughts. So anyone got any thoughts or the answer to it all?
So from our discussions in our group, there were quite a few things coming up.
Yeah.
Being truthful.
Yeah. Yep.
Having integrity.
Yep. Okay, so
stop.
Not gossiping or complaining about people or
the other, the last bit which we talked about is
avoiding slander.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing which we talked about was then holding our tongue in control so we don't use foul language.
Okay. There is that challenge, isn't there? And it's constructive criticism and feedback is just as important as praising people when they've done well. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
And then we spoke about praying for people.
I think prayer is important and praying for people. And actually, that whole thing about if there's somebody who is ostracized by the rest of your work colleagues, actually getting to know them and being a friend to them. And that can be quite a challenge if you feel you're going to be not part of the in crowd or those sort of things. So it's anything else people want to?
We went for the user-friendly way of being who you are as a person, being a good friend, being kind, noticing when people are down or being helpful, sharing
No, I'd agree, and that, and being willing to step into those spiritual conversations when the conversation opens up and you are able to share your faith. I know some people in certain jobs would have to be a bit careful about that, and in this day and age, but it's... Anything else? Yes, Steve. Yep.
Not shying away from it and avoiding the topic altogether. Just, you know, as simple as when you talk about the weekend, including if you went to church, maybe for example, spoke about it, didn't you sing about it?
Yep, yep. No, that's good. Because often, you know, I think it's surprising how people are interested and you know, there's a study that says, well, initially, in 2016-17, it said if you talk to somebody about talk to five people about Jesus, one person out of that will want to know more. And that's, I think, gone to one in four or one in three now. So people are open and they are interested in sometimes. Anything else? Okay. So there's lots of good stuff there. I'm not sure there is a right answer other than what does God want me to do? When working in industry, I tend to let my actions do the talking, letting how I conducted myself with those I worked with, those I worked for, those who worked for me, point to the God I serve. And a lot of the things you've said there are all about that. Exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in all situations. You know, kindness, self-control, gentleness can be difficult. For a while, I had a Christian boss, someone who I still see most summers at New Wine. And when he first became my boss, the first thing he said to me and the other program managers when he sat us down, was that the most important thing you can know about me is that I'm a born-again Christian. For him, it was something he felt he had to say. And I admire him for saying it. But it was never how I felt I should live out my faith at work. And so while I was open about the fact I was a Christian, I would talk about the fact I did church and things, I didn't necessarily say in my first conversation, I'm a born-again Christian, and that's the most important thing to know about me. In my first summer at university, I worked for 10 weeks at Avon Rubber, at the factory they had at the time on Bumpers Farm. And the fact I was a Christian came up after several weeks of working there. And the way it came out, I felt that it seemed that I was ashamed of being a Christian. And so my prayer in the lead up to my year out, which was a year later, was that I would have the opportunity to talk about my faith. And the first morning, the conversation opened up and I was able to talk about being a Christian. And it was something that was never far below the surface in discussions that went beyond what we were working on. Remember at times we'd be sat around and we'd be discussing something in the news or something going on, and somebody would say, well, you're a Christian. What do you think about it? And so I found that really helpful, the fact that I prayed, God had gone before me and opened that up. So as I was preparing for this, I found this video from Mark Green at the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. It's called Work, the Bigger Picture, and I think it makes some really good points. Pioneer run a series of training things, looking at their values. When they were looking at being missional, which is one of their values, Mark was the guest speaker that they brought in. And he has a real heart for reaching those who we come in contact with in the everyday. Those of you who've been part of Dayspring for a while will probably remember us looking at something called Front Lines and being fruitful on our front lines. And those were resources that Mark and LICC have produced. So as you watch this video, be thinking about what in the video are you finding helpful and what questions does it raise for you. Right, let's see if we can get this to work.
This is Brettenham House, just 50 yards from the Thames, where I began my first job after leaving university in the fourth largest advertising agency in the world. I was thrilled for three big reasons. One, I had a job. Two, I not only had a job at the fourth largest advertising agency in the world, I had a job at probably the best advertising agency in the world. And three, the girl that I was hopelessly in love with worked just half a mile down the road. As it turned out, the job worked out better than the girl. But it was in that ad agency that an amazing journey began. And over the 10 years that I worked in advertising, I saw God working in extraordinary ways. In that job, in that agency, among those people, in me. God working in the workplace. They're just not convinced that their work is a shop, an office, or a factory. Their work as a nurse or a teacher, as a bus driver, as a cab driver, as a street cleaner, as an executive. They're just not convinced that it's significant to God. Just standing up and saying, somehow we find it really hard to believe that the work we do every day, the ordinary things we do every day, is just as important to God as the work of a pastor or the work of a missionary. So perhaps it's not surprising that there's not much focused prayer for our work in our church services or even in our midweek groups. It's as if there's this huge part of our lives that is irrelevant to God. As one teacher said to me, I teach Sunday school 45 minutes a week, and they haul me up to the front of the church to pray for me. But I teach in a school 40 hours a week, and the church has never prayed for that part of my life. So we do tend to bring church-related activities to Christ, but it's rarer to value our daily work as a vital part of God's calling on our lives. It's rarer to see our daily work as a vital part of the church's mission. And it's rare to bring the things we do 40 or 50 hours a week to Christ. Why is that? Isn't all work significant to the Creator God who made the world and made a wonderful world for us to work in and create context for other people to flourish in? Isn't the Bible actually full of affirmations about the importance of work and the importance of work in God's purposes in time and eternity? And in Colossians 3, doesn't the Apostle Paul say, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord? Whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you do. I wonder what he's leaving out. And if you're looking in the Bible for an example of God's keen interest in the apparently trivial things of life, you don't have to look very far. In fact, you only have to look as far as Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the land to see what he would name them. And whatever the man named each living creature, that was its name. So here's the King of the universe, the creator of all things. And he's not only delegated the naming of everything that he has made to Adam, he He's also intensely interested in how Adam will use his powers of observation and his language skills to name all these different creatures. God is intensely interested in Adam. In the same way, perhaps, as a human parent is intensely interested in the enthusiastic scribbles of their toddler. So your work is significant to God because you are significant to God. Another reason work is significant to God is because work is an instrument that God uses to get things done he wants done. People fed, people clothed, people housed, people helped to flourish through media, through arts, through education. The world made a better place. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In your home as it is in heaven. In your workplace as it is in heaven. So work is something God wants us to do. 6 days you shall work, he says. So God isn't sitting up in heaven looking down at us at our jobs thinking, I really, really wish they were doing something else right now. No, work is a context for us to use our talents, our resources, our power, our freedom, our opportunities to serve other people, for the benefit of other people, and to the glory of God. And of course the workplace is a fantastic context for mission and for ministry, because we have so many relationships there, so many relationships with people who don't know Jesus. For decades now, the church in the West has had this kind of view of itself. There we are, the red dots in the corner, marginalised, in the ghetto, against the ropes, and every now and then we scurry out like moles onto a lawn to do some evangelism, and then we scurry back. But the reality is completely different. This is a totally false picture of the church. The reality is this. There we are, the red dots, out in the world, working, relating, Monday through Monday, to scores and scores of people. People who can see the difference that Jesus makes in our lives, people that we can bless and serve in a whole host of ways. And the reality is that you're probably already doing it on your front line. 221B Baker Street, the home of Sherlock Holmes. Now the first principle of forensics is this. Every contact leaves a trace. Every contact you have with someone can leave a trace of grace, a scent of the fragrance of Christ, through the way you work and through the way you relate to people, your peers, your boss, your clients, your customers. After all, we're not primarily Christian employees. We are first and foremost sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And so we go to work secure in his love and empowered by his Spirit. Christ in us always, Christ with us always. And so in the workplace, we're called to be a model of Christ to others. We're called to be a minister of Christ to others. We're called to be a mouthpiece of Christ to others. And we're called to be a moulder of culture, someone who tries to make things better for other people in the workplace. That's the high calling of our daily work. So whatever you do, in good times or in tough times, the Lord be with you.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that. Again, back in your groups, what things did you find helpful from the video and what questions did it raise for you? And okay, so it'd be good to hear what you've been talking about and things. So what things did people find helpful in the video? Steve? Yep. So the fact God finds you significant, so what you do is important to him. Yeah. Yep. You can read that. God cares about your work. Anything else? Helping others, yep. Anyone else?
Dotted diagram was a very good illustration of how we should view ourselves.
The dotted diagram. Oh, the dotted diagram, yeah.
We're not just in the corner, huddled together, we are among.
Yeah, yeah. Mark Green and LICC are really good at looking at how in the everyday you can touch people and change people and show people the love of Jesus. And so, yeah, it is good that. So the put dotted diagram, shall we? And he used the term fake news before it was a term. Anyone else?
I thought he erased the question for us. If we accept the fact, for instance, that if somebody's preaching on a Sunday morning, we relentlessly pray for them before they do that 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And yet we have to work really hard to pray for one another in our working life, even though yes, this is important. Yes, what happens there is to do with faith and righteousness and all that stuff. So it raises the question, how do we live as though all of life mattered to God?
Pray for this group of workers or that group of workers every week, because if we're not modelling it in church when we're meeting, we're less likely to be doing it on our own.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Legalistic, but
well, it would be from going from not doing it to actually instilling the discipline modelling it, yeah. I mean, at times, I know we've had teachers up at the beginning of term to pray for them,
but can we extend that?
Can we extend it to other workers and things? And I think it is a real challenge. And
question raised for me as well. It's not just because I'm a teacher, but teach part time. For those who don't know, but in the rest of my life, I do things like help out with the care of an elderly couple and other things. And how much I do pray for what's going on at work, and I pray for when we get upstairs, I have to pray my socks up and I know what everyone has to pray as well. But praying about those other things that are also part of my week, but are also impactful and important, and where God's got me doing his hands and feet at the time.
Yep. Thanks. Right, yep.
So, some people may have like Christian union work, some might know the only Christian work, but just making sure that that's accessible to everyone.
Right, okay, yeah. That's being open and welcoming to all people, yeah. That's important. Any other questions the people of Fulltoot raised? Yep.
I find it very impactful because that was, Jesus' words when he was ascending and he said, go and make disciples of me in the whole world, teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. And I will always be with you. And we just discussed the fact that if you're intentionally sharing the knowledge of Jesus with others, he will always be with you, whether it is a friendly environment or a challenging situation. He keeps that promise. He will always be with you. And so we have that security. We can be secure in that fact.
I think that was one thing that jumped out at me, the fact that we can go to work secure in his love.
Yeah.
And that's probably something that I really should, going to work and being secure in that is something that I'm not good at doing. And it's I remember once having a discussion with somebody. He was buying a lottery ticket, we had a discussion. If he won the lottery, what would it mean? And he said he often, he was my boss at the time, he said often at work he would, as a check he was doing the right things by the business, he would actually think, what would I do differently if I had 3 million in the bank and didn't need the job? And I think often if I had money to secure, that meant I was working because I wanted to work, I find that easier. But going to work with secure in the love of God ought to give me that same sort of feeling and security that God is with me whatever happens. And to do that, and I do find that is a challenge.
I think also, David, there's the issue of the fact that it's not our responsibility to get somebody from 1 to 10, so for me, not a Christian to be a Christian, but we are part of the link of change.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about sowing seeds, and sometimes it's just a small thing that you do. I had a testimony that came back to me a few years ago about a pupil who had become a Christian years afterwards.
Yep, yep.
We just never know what we do or what we say, how that impacts somebody, not necessarily in the present, but down the line.
No, I think that is a very important point, and often we think it's not making any difference what we're doing, but people are seeing it. A girl at university became Christian on my course, and afterwards she went round all the Christians who were on the course and said, I've been watching you, how you live your life, and it has it's made me think about how I've been thinking that. Any other? No? Right. So looking at it, I felt that Mark was making 3 points in 3 areas. Firstly, God loves you, and like a parent who's interested in what their child is doing, and it's a real joy to see them grow and develop. So God is interested in us and what we do, including our work. We're often quick to pray for a job when we need one, thankful when we have a job, but when the excitement of the new job has worn off and we maybe face our first difficult situations in it, do we remember that God helped us get that job? Or do we become disenchanted with the job and maybe think about doing something else? Because God finds you significant, he's interested in your work. Second point is not, and I, this was one that really struck me, was it's not just, work is not just a good thing, it is actually a God thing. So after creating him, God gives Adam the job of naming the animals. Work is a way that God gets things done. Just this week, Dave passed me a video that Mark had put together, and he was talking about Psalm 144. And at the beginning of it, David praises the Lord and then comments how the Lord has trained his hands for battle, for war, and his fingers for battle. And Mark went on to make the point he hadn't thought of God actually doing that, but he did do that for David. And of course, I'm sure Sarah believes that she should be working in the army, and that's where God has placed her. And at some point, you would have had your hands trained for war in doing that. Whatever the job, God sees it as important. And if we believe God has given it to us, we shouldn't belittle it. And we should be doing it with all our heart as working for the Lord. And then in the video, we saw Mark get excited about his first job at an ad agency, the fourth biggest and probably the best in the world, no less. And in the 10 years he was there, he found God had gone before him and was already at work in the workplace and worked through Mark to build his kingdom and to bring glory to God. I know when I was growing up, I wouldn't have said that working for the army or working in an ad agency was the most important place to see God's glory revealed. But I do believe that God wants people in all walks of life, because that's where people can be touched and transformed and see Jesus at work in our lives. So he wants people in all walks of life, in all areas, so that we can show that love, show his love. We can join in what he's doing. We can build his kingdom and bring glory to him. So let us go to work secure in the love that he has for us, empowered by his Holy Spirit, looking to model Jesus, to minister Jesus, to be the mouthpiece of Jesus and a moulder of culture. And let our work colleagues see the difference Jesus makes in our lives. And let us bless and serve those we work with in a whole host of ways. Father, I thank you for the jobs that we have. I thank you that you have placed us and given us that work. And I pray for that each one of us, we will be aware of the love that you have, and that it will be something that we do as though we're doing it unto the Lord. I pray that you'll bless us in our jobs, that we will find that you've gone before us, that we will see where you are at work, and we will be able to join in, that we will have conversations open up, and that we will be bold enough to take, when they do open up and we're able to have a spiritual conversation, that we will know you giving us the words to speak. And may we understand what it means to model you, to minister you, to be a moulder of culture, to be your mouthpiece. Father, thank you for the jobs. Thank you too for the rest of us, Lord, and the things that we do in the everyday, and the opportunities you give us to show your love and to touch people and to bring your joy and your peace into their lives as well, Lord. Amen. Thank you. That's all I've got. Enjoy coffee.